Welcome to Exceedingly Abundant Ministries with Pastor Gary Cole. We are committed to bringing you the good news of the gospel, believing that God wants to make Christians whole in spirit, soul, and body. Visit our website at eaministries.net. Now, here is Pastor Gary with today's teaching.
Well, good afternoon. Lord bless you. I pray that you've had a good week this last week and you're ready for God to do great things for you, right? Even though it's 2012, we're believing God to meet our every need abundantly because of His perfect love for each one of us. Today we're going to be talking about settling God's Word on earth. The scripture we're beginning in is in Psalms 119, beginning verse 89. The psalmist David says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law should have been my delight, I should have perished in my affliction." The Bible says that the Word of God is settled in heaven. That's good news. And it says forever. What part of forever don't you understand? But you are, and I are called to settle it on earth. Remember that prayer Jesus taught His disciples to pray over here in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning verse 9? "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So we're to pray just like the perfect will of God is being done in heaven, that God's will is to be done here on earth. In other words, that we are to walk according to the word and will of God. Now, how do we do this? Four different things I want to bring to your attention today. Number one, we settle God's word on earth by, number one, and this should be obvious, by believing it. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17? "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You don't have the faith you think you ought to have? It can increase. You can always get more, but it comes by hearing the Word of God. You need to study God's Word, meditate on it, speak it out loud where you can hear it yourself. You know, when a person gets saved, what do? They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read here in the book of Romans, also chapter 10, beginning verse 9. The Bible says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." We'll jump down to verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "shall be saved." So we get saved by trusting in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. Have you ever done that? Why not? Would you like to do that right now? Do you know that you can pray a prayer from your heart and be born again? Know that heaven is your home and have the Lord Jesus literally living inside you. Won't you pray with me? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I understand today that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. I repent of my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now and be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself completely to you. Thank you for saving me. Amen. I pray that you prayed that prayer today. If you meant it, Jesus is now your Savior and Lord. Now, as a born-again believer, you need to grow in the Lord. You need to find a good Bible-believing teaching church. get baptized in water, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, become a true disciple of Jesus Christ, and learn and grow, and God will reveal to you His purpose and plan for your life as you grow in Him, and you can live that out to the glory of God. And remember, the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect for you. You could not dream up anything better than the will of God for your life. So, how do we settle God's word on earth? By believing it. Okay? Now, what's the opposite of being belief? It's unbelief. Remember, that was Israel's problem, and Paul reminds us of that in the book of Hebrews. Let's look at that for just a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning verse 7. He says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith," remember, the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead. He does speak to us. He convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Bible said He teaches us all things. The Bible says He'll bring to remembrance everything Jesus Christ has said to us. And also, the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. Also, the Holy Spirit has fruit and gifts that He wants to impart to you so you can be effective believer and truly help others. Let's hear it for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's go back to our passage. "Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will, hear His voice. Harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren," he's talking to Christians, "lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." And may I say, true believers will. Verse 15, "While it is said, today, if you will, hear His voice. Harden not your heart as in the provocation. For who, when they had heard, did provoke? Did not all that come out of Egypt by Moses? But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swore that he should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let's go on to chapter 4. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left to us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith with them that heard it." Now, did you hear that? In other words, they heard the words of God. They knew what they were supposed to do, but they didn't believe God. They didn't exercise faith. They didn't believe what God says. I tell you, you can't go to heaven without trusting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's only one way to heaven, and it is through Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ is our Creator. He's our Savior and Lord. He's our Deliverer and Healer. He's the eternal Son of God. He's God manifest in the flesh. When He was here on earth, He was fully God, fully man. And He is the Savior of the world. And remember, there's no other Saviors anywhere in the world but Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus and His precious blood can anyone get their sins forgiven. No one gets to heaven by being good or doing good. That's what the Bible teaches. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why Jesus came. Remember, if you're living this life and you think you're going to somehow get to heaven someday because you did more good things than bad things, you are totally deceived. In fact, actually, you're just full of pride. You're unwilling to admit that you're a sinner, that you've said and done wicked, vile things during your life. And remember, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And it has to be a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus Christ was the only perfect sacrifice. So praise God for Jesus. He wants to save you. Repent of your sins. Give your heart to Jesus Christ right now. You can have a personal relationship with Jesus. He literally comes to live within you. Remember what Paul said in Colossians 1:27? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. You can have a personal relationship with God through His Son Jesus. And then you receive the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, and He energizes you. He empowers you to do the will of God. And you can live that supernatural Christian life. Amen. But remember, it's only through Jesus Christ. But Israel refused to accept Jesus. And they walked in unbelief. And unbelief kept them from entering into the great things God had for them. Unbelief will keep you from entering into the great things God has for your life. Have nothing to do with unbelief. We have to believe God. We have to believe His promises. Do you know the Bible says that God's Word is full of promises? Let's notice here, over here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue, by which are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God's Word is full of promises. God says, do this. God says, here's what I want to do for you. You believe God. You stand upon the promise. If it's a conditional promise, you do the thing God asks you to do, and you receive and walk in the promise and provision of God. Amen? You say, well, how much does it cost? I like what Paul says over here in Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 31. A very powerful scripture to encourage us. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So remember, God is for you. He loves you. He knows your sin. That's why He sent His Son Jesus. And you can be reconciled to Father God through receiving Jesus. And Jesus' precious blood will wash away all your sins. Murder, whatever you've done, Jesus has already paid for it on the cross. Just come to Him with that repentant heart and invite Him into your life. But notice verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? I like that. Freely give us all things. And it's not just right here. Notice here over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, what the Bible says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God blesses us according to His grace. We don't get good enough to get blessed. Because we are His children, He blesses us. Now, yes, we need to be obedient children and hear His voice and obey it so that we can walk in those blessings. You know, if God says to do something and He's wanting to bless you in doing it and you don't do it, well, you're going to miss the blessing. But they're freely given to us. God has provided it through the cross, and He gives you freely grace to do His will, and He blesses your obedience to Him. And the Bible says it's full of promises, exceeding great and precious promises. But you not only have to read God's word, you have to believe him. You say, Lord, I have faith in what you're saying. I believe this promise is for me. Amen? So we not just believe it. That's the first thing we need to do. Secondly, we have to stand on the promise of God. Let's go here. I like here in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning of verse 10. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. And I pray that you do that every day, just like you get dressed and undressed physically, spiritually, every day, put on new weaponry. Put on that whole armor of God for the battles that lay ahead that day. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to, notice this, stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, you're believing God? Well, isn't that enough? Well, the devil is a liar. The devil comes along and tries to put wrong thoughts in your mind to say, oh, God won't do that for you. You're not good enough. The devil has a million of lies he'll try to do to talk you out of your blessing. Don't let him do it. And if the devil can't whisper in your ear and get you to listen, he'll talk through people. He'll talk through a magazine. He'll talk through a literature that's trash to try to discourage you from believing God for the thing you know his word says you can have. You have to stand against the wiles, the trickery, the deceits of the devil. The devil tries to challenge you, and you have to stand firm. That means you've got to hold your ground. The devil will try to challenge the things you're believing God for. Paul says in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that means people with bodies, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So I don't just believe God and stand upon his promises. I have to say, Lord, I'm holding fast. I'm going to stand even when the enemy tries to discourage me from getting these blessings that I'm believing you for. The devil tries to challenge the things you would do to walk in God's blessings. There's a warfare. There's the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of Satan. And every person is either operating from the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil. There is no middle ground. And yes, all those people in cults and isms and false religions are operating out of the kingdom of Satan. They're lost. They're serving demons. Don't care what they call the demons, they're serving demons. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Only Jesus is the Savior of the world. So you have to stand. That's what the Bible says. Now, let me give you another example of standing. You know, here you've got a promise of God. God's spoken to your heart. He wants you to have this. You're believing him. You're standing on it. Okay? Well, sometimes the blessings and provision don't come instantly. Remember what Paul said over here in Hebrews 10:35? He says, cast not away therefore your confidence. That's a good word. Never lose confidence in God and his word. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We'll talk about that word receive. It's the last one. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. For we are not of them who draw back into perdition, that's a word for misery, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see, as you believe God and stand upon his promises, sometimes they don't happen instantly. Sometimes there's a period of time that goes by between the time you've believed God, stood on His promise, and the provision comes. And therefore, you have to remain having total confidence in God, because remember, the devil's trying to say, no, God won't do it. Remember what he said in the garden? Hath God said? The devil is always trying to get you to be doubtful, to be fearful, and get into unbelief. That's his game. It's always been his game. He works through people, and he works through his demonic imps. And remember, temptation is a devil talking to you. So not only God talks to you as a believer, the devil talks to you too. And if you haven't figured that out, you're probably having a lot of problems. So we stand, which means we don't lose confidence. And also we make the thing, Lord, and I will patiently wait for this to come to pass. And see, that's where you and I, we live in an instant world, don't we? We think we're supposed to have microwave this and that. Well, that's not how it is with the promises of God. Yes, sometimes things happen miraculously and instantly. But often, many things that God gives us comes gradually as we have patience and continue to stand and persevere. All right? So I don't just believe the promises of God, I stand on them. Now, what's the third thing I must do? Fight. Fight for it. Remember verse 12 in Ephesians 6:12? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay, remember, we're in a wrestling match with the devil. He's already been defeated, but you still have to enforce the victory of Christ. Let me use that word here because the Bible uses it over here in 1 Timothy 6:12. Notice what the Bible says. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, with which thou also are also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Notice over here in 2 Timothy 4, begin verse 6, Paul says this, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is in hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What did he say he did? He fought a good fight. Remember, well, who's against you? Well, this world system's being run by the devil. He's called the little g, God of this world. There's people who are lost or being influenced by him. Okay, just take the liberal media. Every time you hear the liberal media, that's the devil talking because they're servants of the devil. They don't know Jesus. Any person who's not saved is a servant of the devil. Just because we were born dead in trespasses and sins, and we're lost until the day we get born again. Remember that. That's what the Bible teaches. So we have to fight for it. The devil's trying to discourage us. He uses the world system. He uses people. He can even use Christians. Remember, sometimes Christians can get weak-willed and they're not growing in the Lord, and Satan influences them, and then he'll try to use even a Christian sometimes to keep you from believing God. Things like, oh, well, God doesn't do that anymore. That's not true. The Bible says, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God's ever done it, he still does it. He sets the captives free. He heals the sick. He brings multiplication and great provision for his children. That's why we get so excited about the Bible. The Word of God is alive. It's true. We can believe God. But again, we have to stand. We have to fight. Now, let me qualify this because this is very important. Yes, we fight for it, but notice, let me clarify this. We are not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Jesus has already defeated Satan, sin, and death. Jesus Christ is already the victor. We just have to enforce his victory in this life. We're fighting not for victory, but from a place of victory. I like what Ephesians 2:6 says, and hast raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Spiritually speaking, every believer, even the person that just got saved today, because of getting born again, has been exalted to a place of seated with Christ in heavenly places, which means you're above the devil and he is under your feet. Now you have to learn and grow how to walk in that victory and live it out. Be sure of that. But the thing is, you're fighting from a place of the victory's already been won. You're just telling the devil, I'm not going to listen to you, and I'm not going to let you talk me out of my blessing or any other person. And that, in that sense, we have to fight for it because we live in a lost world. Boy, you figured that out lately, haven't you? Okay, and that leads us to the fourth point. We receive it. You know, I think a good scripture John, over here in John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. The Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, that's Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them who believe on his name. See, we not only believe in Jesus, what do? We receive him into our heart as our Savior and Lord. I like what Paul says over here in the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You like that? Rooted and built up in him, that's Jesus, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, I like that. We believed in Jesus, but not we just didn't believe him, we received him into our heart. Well, let's apply that to believing God and standing on his promises. I'm believing God for something. He's shown me in his word. I'm now standing on this promise. The devil's trying to influence me or people trying to discourage me. No, I fight the good fight of faith. I continue to stand strong and proclaim the victory. And then by faith, I receive what I've believed. Now, no, I like what Jesus tells us over here in the book of Mark, chapter 11. Let's go to that real quick. That's a very important truth. Mark chapter 11, beginning verse 22. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire, I like that, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So I not only believe, stand fast, fight the good fight of faith, refuse to be discouraged, hang in there. I believe I've received them. Just like I believed on Jesus and therefore I received him as my Savior and Lord, I believe his promises and stand on them. And by faith, I believe I receive them. Even before it comes to pass, it may take a little time, but I've already by faith believed, and therefore I receive. In other words, in my mind, it's already there. God likes that. In fact, I actually, if I really do believe, I can just start thanking him and praising him. Amen? I pray that this has been a blessing to you. What are we talking about? Settling God's word on earth. We do it by believing it, standing on it, fighting for it, and receiving it. And you will receive if you continue to believe. God bless you. Have a great day.
This broadcast is made possible by our faithful partners in the ministry outreach of Bethel Worship Center in Joplin, Missouri. If you have been blessed by Pastor Gary Culp's teaching, and would like to know more about our ministry, feel free to visit our website at eaministries.net. That's eaministries.net.